This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, God, what is that disgusting smell? Oh, it's me. I've got chronic bowel disorder. I've got nothing to live for. I've dreamed about being a movie director, but I smell so bad no one will come near me. And who's going to give me any money? I've got just the people. Her Film Project, they support people who are underrepresented in the... Sorry, you absolutely stink, mate. Can you step back a bit? Oh, yeah, sorry. They support people who are underrepresented in the film community. Oh, how do I get in touch with them? Well, this is what you do. You go to @herfilmproject or herfilmproject.com and you get in touch with them. Or why not follow them on Twitter? They help this podcast, so that would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be. Now get out of my face. You absolutely stink. I think people like you should be shot. It's time for this. Well, that was a bit extreme, what do you think? Oh, sorry, I realise I've just shot someone because they smell bad. Which I only partially condone. It's still 2018. The bleak start to the year. The sun hasn't been out probably all year. And it may never come out again. You probably listen to this thinking, I need cheering up. Well, you've come to the wrong place. This is Film Fandango, the film podcast. Now in about its sixth year. Still maintaining a static number of listeners that's neither gone up or down. Most of them probably just downloading it and never listening to it. But if you are listening to it, hello, my name is Marek Larwood. David Reed is still on paternity leave. I mean, I don't know, he probably thinks he's someone up bloody Sweden the amount of time he's taken off. You probably think it's taking a piss. I think it's taking a piss. Absolutely ridiculous, but anyway, that's not a problem because I have got I'm really milking this friend dry. It's everyone's favorite white male, 30 almost 30 something comedian. It's Simon Fielder.
Oh, what again? Back already. Just what this podcast needs is just an injection of enthusiasm in this bleak, bleak January.
I actually spent most of January the 1st to January the 7th in my room. Right, I'm not trying to write stuff.
Okay.
And I didn't go out on the tube because we both live in London for people. And I didn't really see anyone for 6 or 7 days. And I really enjoyed it.
Well, that sort so of speaks great, to not... your personality a bit more, doesn't it? You've got quite a hermit in that regard.
I think that I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I spent 90% of January the 1st having a top 5 hangover.
Oh, right.
What I would almost describe as a career-ending hangover.
How many days did it last?
I think I tackled the bulk of it on that day.
How did you deal with it?
I was in bed for a lot of it, then I got out of bed.
Did you expel any fluids?
There was a surprise expulsion mid-afternoon.
But it feels so much better once you got out of the way.
Yeah, I felt a little bit better. And then a wild card at the in the evening, my flatmate came back and was like, I'm going to go and get a Chinese from over the road. and I'd had a hankering.
Perfect.
I had a Chinese, and do you know what? After that, it was plain sailing, straight to bed.
That's exactly what, but the MSG can keep you up.
Yeah.
If you wake up 4 hours later.
I think I was just more excited about putting any food in my stomach and it staying in there. And then watched a few episodes of Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix, and that's an absolute dream.
We are going to be talking on Netflix today.
Hmm.
It is in... recently, I mean, films like La La Land and Star Wars, it's now properly big films. All the Oscar nominees end up on, or a lot of them end up on Netflix.
Yeah, they're not mucking around anymore, are they? They've got almost unlimited money at this point.
I think, are they going to, is there going to be some sort of monopoly thing happening? Well, Amazon's the other thing, isn't it? So that's probably stopping them from having a Netflix monopoly.
I think so, but I think, I don't know what Amazon's going to have to do to get traction. Because while they are technically a competitor, Netflix is so far out ahead at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, because it makes its own stuff, and...
As does Amazon, and they also do make some very good and award-winning
but
stuff.
You have to pay Amazon Prime to get Amazon, do you? You've got Amazon, have you?
I do, yes.
And what's that, £70?
I think it's like £80 for the year, and you get the next day delivery, which is kind of the main selling point.
But you also get
all the telly and movies. Now, the movie selection is not great, but they do have a few occasional, like they've got like... not Spotlight, the other Oscar winning Moonlight.
Oh yeah.
They have a few sort of big name marquee titles, and then when you drill down a bit, not so much. But some great in-house TV shows.
All I see is those three car pricks the whole time. Jeremy Clarkson, yeah. And the other two bellends.
I forget about that. That's quite a big...
I find that off-putting.
Big seller for them, isn't it? Yeah, but I suppose it's so internationally huge that that is a good thing for them.
Yeah. But Netflix now, because I was a sporadic Netflix, sort of I'll do a binge for 2 months, see the good films, and then I'm going to go off it for 6 months to the updates.
What, just not pay for it?
Just stop it, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Old school.
And
just dip in and out.
Yeah, but now...
But they just churn out so much stuff, you can't go a month, because there'll be like three new shows everyone's talking about.
Yeah, so you've had recently, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And something I think is even better, Dark.
Dark, yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, so good.
Okay. I was going to start it, but then I started Mindhunter.
I started that, ago. And then I did the Casa de Papel. I'm watching something called Money Heist, some Spanish heist thing.
Any good?
It is. The thing is, it's actually better than the stuff on TV.
Right.
Which is, I do think now Netflix has overtaken television. The BBC's big thing. Sorry, so we're talking about TV rather than, but we're talking about Netflix, but is the main thing of today.
That's the topic, isn't it? So in the sort of Venn diagram of Netflix.
Yes, I've already given a general background. I mean, you want the details. I mean, it's like when you start a film, you can never kill a character straight off. You have to see him with his family. You
need to invest
him,
in
he's
him.
He's stroking his pet, drinking some milk. I mean, when he dies, you think, oh, he was such
very
a lovely
sad
man.
The demise of Netflix, didn't see it coming.
Yeah, so, you know, when you see a total stranger die... I mean, you don't feel any emotion.
Very, very difficult to get me stirred up these days.
Yeah.
I've seen that person married and lose at least one child and then re-find their life before it's shattered in front
cruel,
of their
it's
eyes.
It's stolen from them. Yeah, yes. So we're in a really, really dramatic manner. Oh, I've forgotten what... That's the problem.
Netflix, there's telly on Netflix, isn't there? And some of it is foreign, e.g. that Spanish thing you're watching, and Dark, which I believe is German.
Yes, we don't normally talk about TV programmes, but I highly recommend Dark. Now let's move on to the main meat of the subject. I mean, I reviewed Okja, which was one of Netflix's big films, which I sort of didn't... was quite ambitious in its premise, and surprising to see Netflix fund a sort of weird indie film. But now we're going, as the cinema Oscars have not arrived, and we're still in pretty much Star Wars mode. I'm just waiting for the next week is when the big ones come out. We thought, why not watch Netflix's big budget offering?
Mm.
Bright.
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 Bright!
Simon.
Where to start?
Yes, can you tell me briefly... if someone's flicking through and they click on the box of bright, how would the sort of the general information about the, what would it say about the film?
I think telling you briefly is where I'm going to be hamstrung here. What is the elevator pitch for Bright? In a world where orcs are just mingling with people in the metropolitan Los Angeles area, the first orc police officer becomes embroiled in a fantastical cat and mouse thriller chase for a mystical item whilst Will Smith is also there.
Yes. Will Smith will be playing the same character you've seen him play multiple times, only this time he has a moustache.
That's true, actually. He does have a moustache, doesn't he?
That is a real big... How is... That's what they said in their
LA. It's a real character choice for him.
How is the Will Smith character going to be different? Okay, we're going to give him a moustache. That's more New York.
Yeah. But they travel.
Yeah,
the bigwigs.
It's already New York, LA. They've flown over.
Yeah, maybe. They've just popped in to sort of offer some guidance on stuff.
That's how you tell he's different from all the other characters in the moustache. And it was quite incredible. There's a change in the character that allowed him to...
I will say this.
Will Smith say this.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Can you say that again? But say, I will Smith say this.
I will Smith say this.
Oh, I sound like Muttley. I'm sorry, excuse me, everyone.
I'd like to know about the preponderance or the proliferation of moustaches in the Los Angeles Police Department. Because
what
they
does
are
preponderance quite, mean?
It doesn't mean proliferation.
It's preponderance that made it work, right?
Sure. What, last time I was on here, wasn't there? I have a made-up word.
There's no screening for that, and this is allowed. I mean, this is a sort of what's the word?
Forum. Preponderance.
You can. We allow that. I watched The Box of Delights recently.
What's that?
It is the 1980s BBC.
Oh yes.
You might have just caught, been slightly too young for, which was everyone used to watch before Christmas, and some of the words in that were brilliant, such as instead of kidnapping, they used the word scrubbled.
Oh, they did just make up words.
Yeah, splendiferous is one.
I feel like that might have snuck in now. Preponderance, noun. The quality or fact of being greater in number, quantity or importance. Okay, so maybe it did work in that sentence.
They do, I mean, policemen...
Saying is, a lot of LAPD officers appear to have tashes, or at least they do in David Ayer films.
I remember seeing some sort of documentary, and a lot of them seem to have moustaches.
It's a weird choice, isn't it? I don't know what... Is it? Is there some kind of undercurrent? Is there a weird backstory there?
And it makes them look slightly right-wing and intolerant as well.
Well, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a sort of power thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's arguably not super relevant to the
film. We've gone off on quite a few tangents as usual.
Yeah.
So this is basically like someone's gone, all right, let's take the Tolkien... A fantasy world. Imagine that in Los Angeles in a sort of slight future. It's like it's futuristic.
No, I feel like it's set now. It's sort of more let's impose like a Tolkien fantasy world on an LAPD cop thriller through the sort of veil of a racial allegory.
Now that for me is it's quite long. So as usual, every single bloody film that comes out is at least 2 hours long these days, which is bullshit.
I don't know how long it was.
It was.
It feels around 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's going to be my punt.
I can tell you when I look it up in 2 seconds.
Okay. Live Googling from Marek there. Phil Smith.
Phil, that's another good one. So Joe Edgerton plays the orc. I mean, they're both very good. It's 1 hour 57 minutes. They're both good actors. But the problem is with this, I found, and probably you found as well, is that the whole sort of racial allegories was so clumsy.
It's quite heavy-handed, yeah.
Oh, quite being an understatement.
Yeah. Heavy-handed or spoon-fed.
Absolutely spoon-fed.
Yeah.
But this was a... I think this is more than a film you imagine. I imagine Netflix making sort of superhero films, but at least more. I found this more interesting than a lot of the action superhero films. So for the first hour, I thought, this is bollocks. This is just really two-dimensional characters, and the whole idea of this them trying to find this magic wand is weird. But then, strangely, even though it has been, the Metacritic score is 29, and it's been, I found myself quite enjoying it.
Yeah. I prior to watching it, had only heard the kind of headlines and Twitter sound bites.
Yeah.
Of which some of them were the worst film of the year.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I think I looked on Rotten Tomatoes and saw, I don't know if it still is, or if it even was at the time, the biggest difference between the critic score and the audience score. Like, the critic score
Really?
Like 17%.
I can tell you, so at the moment, on the tomato meter, Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah,
27%.
Critics. And the audience one, when I looked at it, was in the high 80s.
87.
I mean, that is a cavernous gap between what...
Well, 60 whole percent.
It's almost literally 60%.
You could win an election. You could win an election on that.
You could if you wanted to.
If you gain power, you could become a powerful man.
You could become a powerful man. I think we can all agree you shouldn't.
Why?
It's largely your...
it's because I've
your
talked
trigger
about,
finger.
I've talked about public executions on the
both previous podcasts. Yeah. And this one.
I executed the man who's just for smelling.
A differently abled man was executed before this podcast even began in what some people might call an advert, which was supposed selling a product and idea. You summarily executed the star of that advert.
So you think that her film project, when addition to that,
they might not be over the moon with that as a sort of, as the picture that it's painted. They might rescind their £7.50 sponsorship.
Right.
Any hoops. To my point.
Oh, God.
So there's a 60% gap between what the critics thought of it and what the audience thought of it. And I've never seen a film with such a huge difference. And I think I tweeted something to that.
Oh, really?
Intent. And a couple of different people replied that I know, going, I just watched it. I thought it was all right. So I thought, I'm going to take a punt on it. And I watched it with my mum and dad and brother, in fact.
Oh, what did they think?
Over Christmas. I think we all were kind of like, yeah, it was all right.
Is it one of those, I was expecting it to be so bad, and at the start, I think that's the thing, I think how people are giving it bad ratings is a lot of people, you would have watched the first half an hour and gone, oh, this is just bollocks.
Yeah.
And it's not my sort of film, it's an action film, but I thought at least it was more inventive than a lot of the action films. I mean, George Chen, I think, is a really great actor, and the orc character is a bit...
It's a bit cartoony, I suppose. Yeah. Is it based on a graphic novel? I assume it is, because I feel like it's such a high concept that it felt like it's come from something. I think ultimately, if you're going into this film, you've just got to leave a lot of shit at the door. You've just got to kind of not be like, ugh, I get it, guys, it's about race. Or be like, oh, it's so ridiculous, there's wizards in it. Like, I think you've just got to go in going, I'm just going to enjoy a sort of cop thriller with fantastical overtones.
I wonder how, they must have Netflix access to all the sort of algorithms of what age groups watch and what people watch. They know, so they must have, I'm assuming, when this was 90 million budget, so...
You think it's like art by committee? Like they've
I wonder if they've gone, oh, right,
people like people fantasy,
like,
yeah.
Fantasy, like action films, there isn't this sort of action fantasy crossover, and there's nothing, I don't think it's for my age group. I mean, action films are the biggest selling, as we know by proliferation of action films at the cinema. They're the big thing, because they globally, you could, the scripts aren't that, you can translate them easily, because it's just basically people just shooting and calling people arseholes, rather than the nuances of particular languages, which is hard to sort of
arseholes.
Yeah, so I didn't think it was that bad.
I'd be intrigued to know what the gestation of it was. Is it like a script that's been banging around for ages? Is it a graphic novel, or
have Netflix
did Netflix
made...
type in what are the things that people watch on Netflix? Because you are right, because there's so much like, and I'm a huge fan of a lot of it, but like straight to video action movies, they pop up on Netflix, and people must watch them. The fact that Steven Seagal even still has a career is testament to that.
I love for them to release their. Obviously, they won't because that is so valuable.
Yeah, that's their Colonel Sanders' secret recipe, isn't it?
Yeah. And whether we see these films, and whether, because if it was just an art channel for art house films, then they would specifically make, you know, you'd get films you would want to watch. But now they're going to make, because Okja was a very strange choice for a film. I'm very surprised that got a budget.
Yeah.
But they do seem to be films with a conscience, because this did have that sort of racial message, and Okja was a bit sort of almost like a pro-vegan.
Yeah, I still message. Haven't watched it. There's something that's stopping me from watching it. I don't know why. It doesn't super appeal to me, and I can't put my finger on why.
Mm.
Is it the guy, the Korean dude, who's done a bunch of other? Did you do The Host or The Good, the Bad, and the Weird?
I mean, you're asking someone with literally the memory of a goldfish. I know, but luckily, he has
access to his laptop.
Yeah, John Ho Bong.
Okay.
Or known as Bong Hong Jo, sorry, we've got him around. He did.
What's in his filmog, please, that I would have seen?
Looking at it now, Snowpiercer, he wrote.
Oh, yes, have seen Snowpiercer, enjoyed that actually.
Oh, that looked good, I never got around to seeing that. So he wrote and directed that. The Host. You're right, correct, well done.
Thank you.
And other ones.
The Host is good as well. So that's two films from his back catalogue that I've enjoyed, so I should just watch it, really, and stop being such a prick about everything.
Yeah, stop being such a prick. I mean, that's a general message.
If anyone's going to take anything home from this podcast, I'd like it to be that.
I mean, a lot of people are probably shouting that at the moment.
Stop being a prick, Simon! It's 2018, you can leave it behind!
I don't mean we've got any Birmingham listeners.
No.
If we do have any...
Alienate them very quickly with that. So, what are we saying about Bright? I will say this. It's very well made. I mean, it's got a $90 million budget, right? It looks great. David Ayer can shoot the shit out of an LAPD story. He's made about 9 films about the LAPD.
Mm.
And I will say this, prior to Suicide Squad, which I have not seen, I do like, without reserve, almost every single other film he's made.
Mm.
So I'm coming in going, well, this guy can make a cop thriller. I wasn't super sold on the fantasy stuff, but I did, like you, come around to it. I think the one thing that jarred for me was just that and this isn't a spoiler, the mystical object that they're all after it's just called a magic wand.
Yeah, it feels as though a child has...
Yeah.
It's called wands.
I would just love to have been in the meeting where they were like, should we give it like a cool name or something?
Yeah, Excalibur. Just look at the old names of... I don't call it Excalibur, but that's the sort of name it should have had.
But just like give it a cool name, and then maybe they were like, you know what?
Roster.
You know what the coolest name would be? We just called it a magic wand. Because that, in a film that is very, very violent and adult, and it's full of swearing and graphic violence, every time someone says magic wand, it just feels like a Disney film.
I felt exactly the same. That made me... There is a sort of comical element to it that undercuts the violence and the political message.
Comical, funny rather than comic book.
Well, all the way through it, I thought this is aimed at 13 and 14 year olds.
Yeah, agree. Although it is, I would say it's like an R-rated film.
Yeah, but they
don't know how they rate things on Netflix.
They're watching pornos now all the time. These kids have seen loads of bad stuff.
Are they?
I presume they're watching it non-stop.
Do you email them to them? Or
no, I've got no... I like to... underline that I've got no contact with any teenagers talking about.
Let's make that very clear.
I mean, I don't mind public executing, excuse me, but to be associated with that is a whole different ball game, Simon.
So no, that's fine. And you're technically not even allowed within 200 yards of them.
Three meters.
Three meters. Okay, that's his reach. So yeah, I suppose you are right. It is aimed at teenage boys. And yet, they haven't made it like a PG-13. It's not like there's no blood. It's very graphic.
I'm fascinated where to go. I mean, for me, the really fascinating thing you've touched on is the difference between... I would give it 5 or 6 Marics.
Okay.
But the difference between the audience score and the critics rating of 60 is they've clearly got something right.
Well, I suppose, yeah. And maybe that speaks to Netflix's algorithm, or it it underlines how out of touch critics are, or maybe just that that's why you're a film critic, because you're super nerdy about film.
I wonder if
Transformers isn't for you.
If it had been on any other platform, if it had been released in the cinema,
Mubi,
yeah, or not been a Netflix thing, yeah, whether the treatment to it would have been different, and I think it would have been.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know, but if it had been released at the cinema, would that have given it any more cachet, or would it have just been like, what a turkey? Because also there's no box office to report back on, so you can't ever say whether it's a success. The only people who sort of empirically know are Netflix.
But which is going to be, that's going to be the case from now on. How are films going to be, they just, you just won't know how good. But in a way, it's quite good because you can't tell the box office. You just,
well, a sequel's already been greenlit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they must be happy with it. Or, again, they've got so much money to shit out that they're just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a huge tentpole movie for us.
Yeah.
We've got Will Smith in a straight-to-Netflix movie.
It is.
Like, they're changing the game.
That is, I think that is a big statement. You've got probably the, you know, top five Hollywood A-listers, and he's gone straight, it's a straight-to-Netflix thing. He's starring in it.
But it's like, I saw an interview with him where he was talking about why he did it, and he, you know, he's got like two kids
who need the money.
You might, I don't know if you're aware of them, but they're struggling a little bit, and they're not hugely successful in their own right. But I guess he was like, they watch films on their laptops and on their phones. They don't really go to the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, and it's quite a shrewd move by him, I guess. He's aging. He's grown a moustache. He's trying to stay relevant.
That's the story. More really. Grow moustache. Stop making things on the internet.
Well, I think we've both tackled that in the last
couple
of years, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
I've grown out a little beard, and we've both been putting out a lot of orc-based action adventures.
If you want to look at our internet footage, you can go to YouTube and follow Marek Larwood or Simon Fielder, F-E-I-L-D-E-R.
Thanks so much.
Please add to our subscribers, because people don't normally subscribe.
True.
And it's really annoying.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, oh, I'm just going to stop making stuff because there's no point.
Or just like make a vlog where you just hang out in New York with other people who make vlogs.
Do that.
That seems to be the way to be successful on YouTube these days.
Bloody
sounds a bit bitter, that though, doesn't it? No, no need.
Normal.
No need to end it on that note.
How many Simons would you give Bright?
I think I will give it 6 Simons.
Yes. Yes. I think it's. I just think it's. It's. I'm really intrigued as to what films Netflix produces off the back of this.
I think it can only be a good thing, can't it? It's Netflix funding big budget Hollywood movies. It's, you know, stuff that maybe would it have made it to the cinema. I mean, arguably with Will Smith it would have, but I don't know.
If you just watch that, so I've got this £6 Netflix on one screen thing.
Yeah.
If you just watch that,
mm-hmm.
If I'd gone to the cinema to see that,
would have cost you double that.
Yeah. Maybe. 50, even a matinee, 15 quid. So if I'd taken us both to go to cinema to watch that, you're looking at 22 pounds.
So it's another classic cost-cutting
plus
exercise
popcorn.
For the podcast.
I mean, this is, yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Now I've ruined our sponsorship, but definitely.
All the future.
I need to really
future podcasts
cutting back.
Are just, this week, we'll be catching up on the original House of Cards series on the BBC iPlayer, because we do TV now.
Well, oh, incidentally, if you would like to write in or donate to help this podcast, now I've lost the sponsorship, it would be really pleasing. You go to filmfandango.com, click on contact for your letters, or click on donate, where you can donate to help fund trips to the cinema and the costs and everything involved in making this high quality podcast. For anyone who has, I deeply appreciate it. I really wish there were more of you. for anyone who has, thank you very much, and you're very kind and it is much appreciated. I think that's a good segue into this. Some people are writing letters, we like reading them out. song. Would you like to read that out?
Please, I would love to.
Please don't drop my computer.
This is a very long letter from Francesca. Subject, Tom Tuck and Porgs.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I'm intrigued.
Go on.
Hello. First order of business. On the last Jedi episode, for the first few minutes he spoke, Tom sounded uncannily like David Reed. So much so, I genuinely thought it was David for a few moments, playing a little joke, doing a weirdly subtle character. Pretty textbook Reed, actually. It was not that at all, and I'm worried I'm just being a stupid American. No such thing. Second order of business. Much to my husband's consternation, I found The Last Jedi interminable. We love movies, but hate to pay babysitters, so we go to movies separately. That sounds like the sort of thing that you would do.
Yeah, good fun, yeah.
Yeah. He's a major Star Wars enthusiast and was delighted by the film. When I went the next day, the film started with, I don't know, people in spacesuits shooting at each other, and I was suddenly reminded that, as a rule, I don't like space battles. I would say that is probably your first error going into a Star Wars. But it continues, it's a long letter, I did preface it with that. Which, honestly, means I ought to steer clear of a franchise called Star Wars. Yeah, I preempted it. At any rate, I don't want to just spew bile. As much as I don't care for space battles, I am rather fond of cute things. Setting aside the pointlessness of Porgs, and so much of this dumb movie, it says in brackets, and I would agree with the pointlessness, it's just a merchandising thing anyway, but hello. I did think they were adorable, a fact only bolstered by this bit of trivia I learned about their reason for the inclusion in the film. Apparently, the island the Luke story took place on is overrun with puffins, and rather than digitally remove them, Rian Johnson decided to digitally alter the puffins into little Porgs, which somehow makes them even cuter to me. There, that should have taken up quite a bit of podcast time. You're welcome. Long-time listener, brackets, but not bragging, but kind of bragging. Francesca.
Thank you, Francesca. That's a really good fact.
That's a smashing letter, actually, because everything I tried to sort of she already nailed.
It was someone who could actually think about what they're going to say, as opposed to me.
And that fact really sort of undermined my sniping on the Porgs as well. And it has changed my sort of approach, I guess.
Changed my life. Changed your life, Simon.
It's changed 2018 for the better.
Porgs, that is... I would love it if Kevin Spacey was replaced by a pork in that film with Christopher, all the money in the world. That would be, I mean, that would be the marketing coup of the century, just to have. Actually, we've decided to replace him with a pork.
Great facts, though.
Yeah, great facts.
Thanks for that, Francesca. If I watch The Last Jedi again, I will watch it differently.
I think they should have just left the puffins in there and just flogged puffin.
I suppose.
Puffins are brilliant birds.
Yeah.
You can't really create it. Some animals are really cute. Sloths.
Mm-hmm.
Lorises. Have you seen lorises?
No, what's a
like
loris?
Like a sloth type thing.
Okay.
Hedgehogs.
Yeah, cute. It's the face, isn't it?
Toucans are great as well. Yeah. Puffins. These are great birds. You think, oh, you made a pork, but do you know what? Puffin is...
Yeah, but other people can make puffins, whereas only Lucasfilm can make porgs.
They could just change the beaks to green or something.
Yeah, change the beaks to green.
Here's another letter. It's from Francesca again.
What?
Francesca Scalici. She must have thought, do you know what?
I'm going to really help them pad out this podcast.
It's on the same day, so she probably thought I hear something else. Recommendations. Hi, friends. Here is an unsolicited recommendation. The clunkily titled Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Francis McDormand brings it as per usual. But where she really shines are in the quieter moments of the film. There's one short scene, it isn't even a high drama moment, where she gives a very simple line so kindly it makes me tear up just to think of it. But the very best part of this movie was that I had no idea where it was going, how it would end. It was the first time in a long time that I was riveted by a plot. Conversely, I, Tonya, was really great, despite the fact it is a story where we all know how it ends. It's a testament to the performances and the very visceral storytelling that it was gripping despite knowing where it was heading. Hope you watch and enjoy them. Oh, and also second best recommendation of Disaster Artist. hadn't actually seen The Room, but knew enough about the backstory to follow the movie just fine. Francesca. I mean, these two films aren't out here in the UK.
Three Billboards is literally coming out right now, I believe.
I think it's out this Friday. Yeah. Well, when this podcast was out, but obviously you have to record it a couple of days beforehand.
Yeah.
So these are all Oscar bait ones. So I will be going to see Three Beanbags. And also I, Tonya, which is the Tonya Harding ice skating drama.
Yes, and we all know how that ends. Dancing on Ice.
Yeah.
Good, actually, having American listeners, because they can often get the films, you know, a little bit earlier, so it's like a little heads up, isn't it?
Yes.
Thanks, Francesca. What else you got?
Here is a message from Dan Rogers, subject zombies. Hi, American lovely guest. Just wondered if you liked the zombie genre and what your favourite zombie films were. My top three would be Train to Busan.
Boom.
Warm Bodies and World War Z. I watched Cooties last week. It's a comedy horror where the zombies are school children under 10. It was a different spin on a possibly worn out genre. It starred Elijah Wood and they got a few Hobbit jokes in there, so I was happy. It passed 90 minutes quite easily. Give it a watch if you have nothing better to do. Keep answering the questions. Darren. And so I think the zombie genre has probably peaked The Walking Dead. There was a moment when all zombie films were good zombie films.
Yeah. I think The Walking Dead has run its course as well, but people will insist on continuing to watch it.
I think it was when I made 28 Days Later they realised there was a gap in the market for zombie films.
Yeah. I recently watched Train to Busan. I thought it was excellent.
Yes, it is a good film.
Very much enjoyed it. Have not seen Warm Bodies. That's the one with your man from Skins in, isn't it? He's also been in some other things since then.
Yes, I've not seen it.
And have seen World War Z. I thought it was fine.
I'm surprised that's in his top three zombie list. Yeah. Because you literally, you've got... I mean,
Shaun of the Dead, that's a great one.
Well, Night of the Living Dead, the classic.
Okay, yeah, start
and
with
then
classics.
The Maul one, is that Day of the Dead or Dawn? Oh,
it's one of them, isn't it? The Maul one is the classic one, I think.
I love that one. I think that's great. And I think the remake of that is
yes,
also
the remake is good,
excellent.
Actually. What about stuff like Brain Dead, Peter Jackson's Brain Dead? You know, that's a lot of fun.
I've only seen bits of that.
Very fun stuff back in the 90s or the 2000s, whenever.
Yeah, World War Z, I would definitely not have in my top ones. Zombieland, I thought was very good.
Like Zombieland a great deal, actually, yeah. These are all very more recent zombies that have been
excellent. I think... I don't know if
20 Days Later is great.
I really like 28 Weeks Later as well.
Okay. Did you see The Girl with All the Gifts?
No, I read the book.
Is it good? I would like to see that film, which I believe is a zombie film.
I think it got quite poor reviews, because the book was quite good, but it was a bit like an apocalypse zombie film, where you sort of know all the plot. There seemed to be that wave in I think, following Hannibal Lecter, and then the whole, what was it, that guy who was the serial killer series, Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
But before, and then they realised people actually like the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, the sort of wave of the monster being a cool character. I suppose Teen Wolf was an example. But not really. Of the monster being an interesting... You sympathise with the monster because we're so TV literate.
Right. And like Frankenstein, the Monster Squad.
Yeah, so see, I think that has now been... Over, it's no longer a niche new thing. It's quite...
Yeah. And yet people still keep churning them out, don't they? The old zombies, the old zombie movies. You know, Train to Busan wasn't like they were different zombies, but it was just very well handled.
What do you think of the fast zombie, slow zombie debate?
Yeah, tough one, isn't it? I mean, both good when they're done well.
There's fast zombie, which was 28 Days Later, is really good.
Busan, they're fast as well,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, I think... The idea that they run faster than they would do when they're human beings. I just don't buy the whole blood. I don't buy the logic of it.
Oh, right, okay. But up to them being reanimated corpses, you're
on
board.
Well, they're reanimated, but then they look lifeless. So you think, obviously there's a circulation problem there.
Yeah, but that's the first. Let's track down let's work symptom by symptom and we see if we can fix them.
You see a zombie, they've got big bags under the eyes, their skin's falling apart. They're very, very pale. So you think they're not... That blood isn't... And it's not... Their brains are working possibly.
They're tired, dehydrated.
Yes. So the fact that they're going to sprint for a long time, I find very unbelievable.
Yeah.
The slow zombie was a much better. Maybe it was too slow.
To whom it may concern,
I would like to have an accurately paced zombie, for crying out loud.
So you're looking, this is your zombie film, has neither the lolloping slow ones nor the sprinters. They're just walking at a medium pace.
The original zombies were too slow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then you can see if anyone like, follows shows that slow can be very scary.
I've still not seen It Follows yet.
Such a simple idea.
Okay, so your gap in the market, average pace zombies.
I would just say to the zombie actors, all right, so you're at zombie auditions.
Pick it up a bit, mate.
Have you seen, there's some clips on the internet of people auditioning for The Walking Dead and things like that?
No.
I'm sure I saw something where there's just crowds of people and they're going for a casting and they're all sort of, a bit like a dancing, you know, you go for these dancing sort of auditions, but they're all doing zombie walking, some really showing off and doing too much. It's just brilliant seeing people, desperate actors, being zombies at different sort of paces of zombies and things.
Like everyone's made their decision in their head. This is what I'm going to stand out.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the old neck twitch. My arm's going to go a bit wonky.
A little. I mean, a lot of them are a bit too much. Like Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot.
Right.
Can you say that?
Probably. The original zombie movie.
Well, you could. There is an argument.
That's the sound of the sponsor 100%. Leaving. Okay, great.
I've listened to some other podcasts recently and they were being really offensive and I thought, I don't need to hold back so much, do I?
Okay. Well, I'll leave that up to the listeners, I suppose.
Yes. What? As a listener, how offensive do you find this podcast? Too offensive?
Do you want less offensive, really offensive, or are we looking for the medium-paced offensive zombie?
Yeah, the same as a few people have said America's a bit near the knuckle at some point. I probably have been there today, but that's real life, isn't it?
2018, New Year's resolution.
Sorry, let's take everyone back a few years. Do you have another message?
Let's go for it.
Here is a message from, I'm not going to do the quiz section today, so we're just going to finish on the messages.
Great.
Simon Iberson, he has, the subject is, watch some flipping Studio Ghibli. You're not wearing Studio Ghibli. Dear American Random. I mean, that's a little bit disrespectful.
I think at this point, saying random, you may as well say Dear American Simon, because the chances are, like at this
you're
point.
You're in one in three, isn't
yeah.
it? I keep hearing how you and other guests have been stymied in their IMDb score by Japanese stuff from Studio Ghibli. Ridiculous. It's so worth it. My unsolicited advice is to start with My Neighbour Totoro, then Ponyo, and then Spirited Away. What I like most is just how they're fairy tales, but told with a completely different cultural vocabulary. They're unpredictable and frequently batshit mental. Do it. I'll keep watching the films. Peace out. I think I have seen Spirited Away a long time ago, and I can't really... I've seen a couple of them. I think the house one... some house.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes. And I really didn't like it.
I'm sad to say I have not seen any of them. And I think I deserve to be called random at this point based on that. Apologies. I have seen a lot of other Asian cinema though.
Maybe we should have a Studio Ghibli week.
Maybe. I find I don't engage as well with animation.
Yes, me too.
And so that's why, up until the last couple of years, I've hardly seen any Disney Pixar films, which a lot of people pull me up on. And it's also why, historically, when I got into Asian cinema, I didn't really get into manga, anime. And I think that's just continued. So I'll watch
I have seen Akira, though, which is the artwork is jaw-dropping.
I've seen Akira. I've seen Ghost in the Shell. Mm. I've seen Fist of the North Star. I've seen Uruk Tsukidoji, Legend of the Overfiend.
Do you speak Japanese?
I did then.
Good, mate.
Thank you. Which was the one that everyone watched in their teenage years, and it was the first one where they were like, oh, there's naked ladies in this.
Oh, sex manga.
And there's weird, like, just penis laser, and it's just mad.
Penis lasers?
there's not a penis laser, but there might be like a tentacle or some weird stuff happens. It's not for me.
I don't understand that whole tentacle stuff.
It's not really for me.
Where does it come from? Japanese tentacle sort of weird thing.
Write in. Maybe write in.
If you're into tentacle porn, write in how you got into it. I don't really want.
Do you set up a separate email address?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast, would they?
There's probably other podcasts that are more tentacle centric.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do the quiz because I thought you'd done it a couple of times already and I thought you probably needed a break.
Yeah. I'm all quizzed out between Christmas and playing that HQ app that's taking the world by storm.
What is that?
It's a live quiz show on your phone.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll show it to you after this.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Well, I suppose I better take you out to get some food then.
I would never say no to a free lunch, and that's recorded, so...
Why not follow us on Twitter or Instagram or at Marek Larwood or at Simon Fielder?
It is still Fielder, yeah.
Also, I've been listening to quite a lot of other podcasts, and they all say this, I need to rate and review.
In the iTunes store.
So that might... So if you do like this podcast, I mean, don't write it, this is a load of shit.
I don't see the point in writing a bad review.
But if you've listened to this...
If you get to this point and then you just like, oh, I expected it was going to be completely different when I read that two comedians were going to talk about film. I think this is fully on brand for that.
One of my...
What did we say earlier? Stop being a prick about everything.
Well, my friend said they listened to This Is a Good Way of Going to Sleep.
I mean, I can't see how that would be possible. No.
If you have just woken up and you hate this podcast and listen to it while going to sleep, why not go to iTunes and just rate it and review it and see if we get any more listeners? That's apparently it's supposed to help. I don't know. I don't care about anything anymore.
That's not... You can't end the podcast like that, Marek. It's 2018.
It's 2018. Go for it. Believe in everything. I mean...
Not everything.
No, I think actually everyone says you can do anything you want. Just do something nice for someone else.
E.g., pop over to iTunes, give this a 5-star review, and write like a nice review of it, what you like about
then,
it.
Then you can think, oh, well, I've done everything I need to do for 2018.
That's it. You'll feel that you've achieved something, and also that is much cheaper than donating actual money. But in the long term, if it boosted up the iTunes charts, maybe... We can get, I say we, I mean Marek can get a new sponsor.
If you do donate actual money, then I won't have to go and work for my little brother chopping down trees on some rich person's estate in the woods.
I don't think you should tell the public that sort of thing.
Why?
It goes right into real life Marek.
There we go.
It's a real window into a world.
It is real life.
Fingers crossed we'll get a new sponsor. Maybe Squarespace will hop
on. Hang on, I like the sponsor.
No, we're not like an additional sponsor. How about that?
Yeah. Anyway, this is...
You can offend them at the beginning and the middle of each podcast.
We could, yeah. Oh, well, thank you for listening. And if you do one thing this year...
Keep watching the films!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.